A group of Israeli settlers stormed Al-Aqsa Mosque in occupied Al-Quds ahead of a planned flag march that has drawn warnings from Palestinians. Iran calls on Turkey to respect Syria's sovereignty after Ankara threatens to launch a new offensive to create a so-called safe zone in the border area. Fierce fighting is reported in eastern Ukraine, where Russian forces have intensified their attacks to capture more areas. I'm Behruz Najafi. Welcome. Now, beginning with Palestine, the city of Al-Quds is on edge. Dozens of Israeli settlers protected by forces have stormed the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound ahead of a controversial flag march. The settlers waved Israeli flags as they crossed the Damascus Gate and marched through Al-Quds' old city. They assaulted and beat up three Palestinians, causing them minor injuries. One of them was moved to the hospital for treatment. Several Palestinians were also arrested after Israeli forces attacked worshippers inside Al-Aqsa. Since early this morning, the Israeli military has restricted Palestinians' access to Al-Aqsa. Despite that, hundreds of worshippers have already gathered inside and outside the compound. The latest developments come as thousands of Israeli settlers are preparing to hold the controversial flag march. Now, that marks the anniversary of Israel's occupation of East Al-Quds in 1967. Different Palestinian groups, including Hamas, have warned of consequences if Israel fails to change the planned route and tries to approach Al-Aqsa. But Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett says that the march will proceed along the planned route. From Ramallah, our correspondent Mona Akandil tells us about the current security situation in Al-Quds.
Clashes took place inside the Al-Aqsa Mosque while Israeli forces firing heavy tear gas against the Palestinian protesters and the Palestinian worshippers. Palestinians had nothing inside the Al-Aqsa Mosque but stones to throw at the Israeli forces and the Israeli settlers in order to prevent the raid to continue taking place. The first raid to the Al-Aqsa Mosque started at 7 o'clock in the morning, local time. There would be another incursion to the Al-Aqsa Mosque complex after almost 2 hours from now. This would be in preparation for the major march that is known as the Flag March, where thousands of Israeli settlers are expected to take part in this march under the protection of Israeli forces. The real challenge now is that the Palestinian resistance groups and the Hamas movement warned the Israeli regime not to allow the settlers to raid the mosque during the flag march and not to lift or raise the Israeli flag, and warned them also not to allow the Israeli settlers from touring inside the Muslim quarter of the Al-Aqsa Mosque, the narrow streets of the of Al-Quds, this part where Palestinian Muslims live there, but the settlers have the green light to enter the Al-Aqsa Mosque complex and raise the Israeli flag during the flag march.
A high-ranking Israeli official has visited Saudi Arabia and met with senior Saudi officials, fueling speculation that the two sides could be taking reciprocal steps toward the normalization of the relations. But this is not a first contact of its kind. It's an open secret that Riyadh and Tel Aviv have had an unofficial behind-the-scenes relationship and have even coordinated security-related issues in the past.
A senior Israeli official has traveled to the Saudi capital and met inside the royal palace with a high-ranking Saudi official. According to Israel's Channel 12, the visit was meant to coordinate security cooperation between the two sides, which included the alleged common threats posed by Iran. The visit was linked to the two sides' mutual interest in leveling up their relations. In March, Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman said, "Riyadh does not look at Israel as an enemy, but looks to it as a potential ally," saying they have many interests that can pursue together. Riyadh and Tel Aviv have no formal diplomatic relations, although it is widely believed that they do have contacts behind the scenes. There are plenty of examples of this. In 2018, it was reported that the chief of staff of the Israeli army met his Saudi counterpart to discuss terrorism and the alleged threat from Iran. Saudi Arabia's decision to allow Air India flights to and from Tel Aviv to transit through Saudi airspace are tangible signs of a shift. When bin Salman was asked about Israel having a say on a stolen Palestinian land, he said he believes that the Jewish people have a right to a nation-state in at least part of their ancestral homeland. U.S. President Joe Biden is going to travel to the occupied Palestinian territories. Biden administration officials are in talks with the Saudis about arranging a potential in-person meeting between Biden and the Saudi prince for the first time. Meanwhile, Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett's advisor Eyal Hulata is expected to travel to the U.S. next week. Earlier this week, two senior U.S. officials reportedly visited Riyadh as the Biden administration is quietly mediating a Red Sea deal between Saudi Arabia, Israel, and Egypt that involves the transfer of two strategic islands, Tiran and Sanafir, in the Red Sea from Egyptian to Saudi sovereignty with Israeli consent. The deal could also pave the way for the official announcement of the normalization of ties between Riyadh and Tel Aviv. When asked about the report, Saudi Foreign Minister Prince Faisal bin Farhan refused to deny it, only saying more steps needed to be taken to find a solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. In 2020, Israel's then Premier Benjamin Netanyahu visited Riyadh and met with Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. This year saw Washington brokering normalization of relations between the Israeli regime and some Arab states, including United Arab Emirates and Bahrain, Saudi Arabia's key Arab allies in the region. The trend of normalization has been roundly condemned by Palestinians as a brazen betrayal of their cause.
Saudi Arabia, like other Arab regimes of the Persian Gulf, has kept its relationship with Israel under wraps for quite some time. The monarchy has not recognized Israel since its occupation of Palestinian land in 1948. And traditionally, Riyadh's official policy toward the Middle East conflict has been supportive of Palestinian Arabs and against Israel. But just like any other Persian Gulf Arab state, Saudi Arabia has failed to take any actual steps that would promote the cause of Palestine.
Israel and Saudi Arabia have for years been conducting covert talks on diplomatic, security, and business affairs, and now Washington is trying to improve ties with Riyadh. U.S. officials are even seeking to organize a meeting between Biden and the Saudi crown prince. This comes against the backdrop of the global energy crisis caused by the war in Ukraine. Russia-Ukraine conflict continues to rock the global energy market. The U.S. is finding itself increasingly reliant on Saudi Arabia, the world's largest crude oil exporter.
A Zionist entity like Israel, I can't really call them a country because they're not. Palestine is the legitimate country. Israel has usurped and stolen the land. So I would caution any nation. I look at what Israel has done to the United States, how they have infiltrated and used the Jewish population in the U.S. to influence our foreign policy in a manner that is no longer favorable to the American people, but instead is favorable to the government of Israel.
Saudi Arabia has refrained from normalizing ties with Israel, unlike Bahrain and UAE, saying it would not do so without a resolution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. But bin Salman calling Tel Aviv a potential ally could indicate that Riyadh has already betrayed the Palestinian cause, and admitting it overtly is only a matter of time.
In other news, Iran calling on Turkey to respect Syria's sovereignty and territorial integrity, and that after Ankara announced plans for a new military operation in the Arab country. Foreign Ministry spokesman says Tehran is opposed to any recourse to military action and use of force to resolve disputes. According to Said Khatibzadeh, such measures violate the sovereignty and territorial integrity of countries and only complicate the situation. He said that Iran understands Turkey's security concerns, but the only way to address those concerns is via dialogue and respect for bilateral agreements with neighbors. Turkish President Tayyip Erdogan has threatened to launch a new military operation in Syria to create what he calls a safe zone in the border area. Well, I had a conversation with author and commentator John Stepling, and he blames the U.S. and NATO's provocations for unrest across the world, including on the Turkey-Syria border.
The Syrian situation, the incursions into Syria, are something that have happened over the last 6, 7, 8 years. I mean, it's been a source of unease and anger on the part of Erdogan and Turkey, and they do have some concerns with the stability or security in the south with the Kurds. But, you know, this is all, I mean, if you take all of this kind of incoherence and contradiction, you can lay it at the feet of U.S.-NATO provocation. I mean, that's really the problem here. These are the sources of global unrest right now in the most acute form is U.S. imperialist expansion in the form of NATO right to the borders of Russia, their open statement they want regime change in Moscow and so forth, just as they want regime change in Damascus. They've said they want Assad gone. This is the problem, is U.S., you know, American exceptionalism, this imperialist mindset that the U.S. can play the role of policeman to the planet and make the world safe for Western capital, Western business, and that's really the goal.
The Russian military is stepping up its campaign to take over the city of Severodonetsk in eastern Ukraine. According to local officials, the city is under heavy shelling. No estimates available for the scale of damage or casualties from today's fighting. On Saturday, they said at least 2 people died and 13 buildings were destroyed. The Russian military says it's taking control of the nearby rail hub of Lyman and Donetsk. But according to Ukrainian officials, the city has not yet fallen. Moscow is pushing to seize the entire eastern regions of Donetsk and Lugansk, where it says it wants to protect the local pro-Russia population. It's also hitting areas farther away, including capital Kiev, with airstrikes. Okay, for an update on the latest on the ground there, let's go to Donetsk. Johnny Miller, our correspondent, is there and reporting things live for us. Johnny, what's new?
Currently in the center of Donetsk. It's a lazy, warm Sunday afternoon here, and people are just walking around, strolling, playing with their families. The cafes are full. If you came to Donetsk not knowing there was a war on, you wouldn't believe that the front line is only 6 kilometers away, just on the outskirts of this city. When I first arrived here 2 weeks ago, you would hear the constant rumble and boom of outgoing and incoming artillery. But now, as you can hear, it's quite quiet, although there is attacks during the night. One civilian was killed on the outskirts of the town. And the reason that it's much quieter here in the center of Donetsk at the moment is because of the Russian advances not far to the north of here, which are threatening the Ukrainian positions on the outskirts of town. President Zelensky says that it's hell and indescribably difficult for the Ukrainian forces in Donbass at the moment, which is stark contrast to how placid it is here in Donetsk. This conflict is, while on one hand it's a proxy war between Russia and NATO, it's also a civil war and an ethno-cultural war. You ask most of the people around me here what they think of the separatists here in Donetsk and what they think of the Russian invasion. They'll tell you that they support the separatists and they support the Russian invasion. You ask people in Kiev the same question, they will tell you that the separatists are wrong and that they do not support, and that's putting it mildly, the Russian invasion.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Johnny, from what's going on the ground, what are we expecting to happen in the coming days? Further attacks or maybe some calm?
Well, Russia's making serious advances. It's very difficult for us to get close to it because the Russians don't allow many journalists close to the actual fighting. But the Russians are making serious advances. They plan to take the whole of Donbass. It's difficult to see just how Ukraine and NATO, their NATO backers, are going to be able to support them, give them enough weapons, heavy weapons in time for them to stop Russia taking the rest of Donbass. And then there's a hope that Russia may well call an end to its special military operation, or maybe they might try to take other cities like Kharkiv and Odessa. But increasingly, there are some calls for negotiations and peace. France and Germany have been trying to put pressure on the Ukrainians and Russia in order to seek negotiations. But at the moment, the Ukrainians are saying they will not negotiate unless there's a precondition that Russia will give back all their territory that they took at the beginning of this conflict. And Russia is simply not going to do that. But there are increasing calls for negotiations, but particularly Russia at the moment, when it is on the advance, are not negotiate either.
Okay, thanks for that. Jana Miller, our correspondent live for us in Donetsk, Ukraine. Now, meantime, Russia says that the West is absolutely wrong in trying to link a global surge in food prices to the Ukraine war and Moscow's blockade of Ukrainian ports. The foreign ministry spokeswoman says the prices for agricultural products surged in 2020 when the COVID pandemic caused major disruptions to supply chains. According to Maria Zakharova, the Western sanctions on Russia are, in her words, the main catalyst for the existing negative trends. She also accused the United States and the EU of diverting some 20 million tons of Ukrainian grain meant for Africa and West Asia to warehouses in Europe. Zakharova also said that the U.S. is provoking a food crisis in Ukraine by depleting its grain reserves through a wheat-for-weapons scheme. That's all wrap for this news broadcast from Tehran. Thank you for being with us.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
About yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of
radio. Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, May 29th, 2022. I'm Atefa Erfani hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through letters, emails, and messages. So, contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Or if you have any message for our great listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Please do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Please don't go away and keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special. And as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. As you may know, these reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers. You know why? Because these reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our great listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an electronic QSL card or an eQSL card from us. And here, I do send my appreciations to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports. We've received reception reports from Najmuddin from India, Juan Koba from Spain, and Akbar Haydar Kairan from the US. And of course, we've received many emails from around the world, including from Bashir Ahmed from Bangladesh, Ding Lu from China, Harald Seuss from Austria, Dario Gabrielli from Italy, and Akbar Haydar Kairan from the US. Many thanks for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio and your program, Listeners Special. Please keep us company until the end of the program. I will be back with these great emails from around the world. Many thanks for being with Listeners Special. Bashir Ahmed from Bangladesh has sent us an email, so let's see what Bashir says. I am Bashir Ahmed. I have always been a listener of IRIB English Radio or IRIB Word Service, and I have been connected to your English station for some time. I have to say that this station is the only one that is different from the other mainstream media broadcasting news, and I am congratulating you for your good work, mostly for broadcasting the right issues as the world arrogantly ignores justice nowadays. So, I ask you to redouble your efforts so that the whole world can learn from you and tune into you, radio, IRIB English Radio. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Bashir Ahmed from Bangladesh, and please accept our appreciations and warm gratitudes to you for sending us such a nice email, and thank you very much for telling us your views about the quality of IRIB English Radio broadcasts and programs, and we are so happy that you enjoy our programs, as you said. IRIB English Radio is the only station that is different from other mainstream media broadcasting news that broadcasts the right issues that, of course, the Western media ignores. So it's great that you're following the world developments through IRIB English Radio news, and it shows your support and commitment. And as you know, our effort at IRIB English Radio is to broadcast the non-partial, unbiased, and correct news happening around the world. Thank you very much. Bashir Ahmed from Bangladesh, write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon. My colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card as verification. And from China, we have an email from Ding Lu. So let's see what Ding Lu from China says. Dear IRIB English Radio, I'm very happy to receive the latest electronic QSL card you sent me. It's nice. I like it very much. Here, I would like to ask, can you mail me a printed version of the QSL card too? I want to collect them. I would be glad to get it. Thank you and best wishes. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Ding Lu from China. And many thanks for sending us this email. So, You've recently received the IRIB English Radio electronic USL Kernan. That's great. But as for your request about sending you a printed QSL card or a paper QSL card, I'm afraid it's not possible because we are in the time of pandemic. It's the pandemic is around the world, and of course, this pandemic is controlled in Iran, and we have very few cases of the pandemic in Iran. But anyway, because of the international laws and regulations regarding mailing and posting, sending any material to our listeners is not possible because we have a still pandemic around the world. So sending any promotional item, material, or souvenir is not possible. So maybe after the pandemic, we can send our great listeners those souvenirs of IRIB English Radio like before the pandemic. We traditionally used to send our listeners these items. But for the time being, please accept our electronic QSL card, Ding Lu from China. Again, many thanks for sending us this email. After a short break, I will be back with other emails from around the world. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. Dario Gabrielli from Italy has sent us an email. Dario says, "Dear friends, my name is Dario and I am 54 years old. I live in northern Italy in a village called Dolo, which has about 14,000 inhabitants, located near Padua and Venice. I have newly started listening to your programs in English in shortwave because I don't like to listen to broadcast via PC or satellite. I like to listen to radio stations from all over the world only in shortwave with a receiver. I hereby wish to inform you that in recent weeks, I have sent through your website Pars Today two reception reports, and I hope you receive them. Hoping for your news, I greet all the editorial staff and remember of your service." Salam, ciao, Dario Gabrielli from Italy, and thank you very much for sending us such a nice email. So you are 54 years old and you live in northern Italy in a village called Dolo. It's great. I've never heard that name before, but thank you very much for sharing your experience and telling your information about the place you live in, Dolo, which has about 14,000 inhabitants and it is located near Venice. We are so happy that the signals of IRIB English Radio are received in your region, in your village, Dolo. That's great. So, you, like many other radio listeners, and like me and my colleagues, you like listening to shortwave radio, the traditional kind of radio. That's great. This is something that most people like, listening to shortwave radio rather than listening to radio through satellite or internet or online. And that's great. You've been listening to IRIB English radio programs for some time. So in your upcoming emails, Dario Gabrielli, tell us which program or programs you like the best. This helps us to boost the quality of our programs. Thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Dario Gabrielli from Italy. Write to us soon. We're looking forward to hearing from you soon. And please accept our EQSL cards, which will be sent to you very soon. And from Austria, we've received an email from one of our old and regular listeners, from Harald Suss. Harald Suss from Austria says, "Dear staff of English Department of IRIB World Service, thank you very much for the nice EQSL you have sent me today. Best wishes to you and your staff. Your listener, Harald Suss." Salam and warm greetings to you, Harald Suss from Austria. So, You are one of our listeners who has received electronic QSL card. Thank you for letting us know about that. Write to us soon. Harald Suess from Austria. And after a short break, I will be back with other emails from around the world. Welcome back. Here we have an email from Akbar Haydar Kyron from the US. Akbar Haydar says, "Dear sir or madam, assalamu alaikum. Please find my reception report below from New York, USA. I had a chance to listen to a piece of Islamic music and also my very favorite program, Listeners Special, in which you read listeners' letters, mails, etc. Kindly send me new program schedule and frequency schedule and printed QSL or EQSL card. Thank you. Salam and warmest greetings to you, Akbar Haydar Kyron from the US. We are so happy that you listen to our programs. So, you listen to a piece of Islamic music and also your favorite program. Listeners, a special thank you for your support and commitment. You know, regarding your request for sending you program schedule and frequency schedule, unfortunately, it's not possible in the time of pandemic. Maybe after the pandemic, is controlled around the world, we can send you the printed QSL card and the program schedule and frequency schedule. But for the time being, you can, you can find our programs schedule and frequency schedule at our website at www.parstoday.com/en. Yes, www.parstoday.com/en. There you can find our programs schedule and frequency schedule. And my colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card. Akbar Haydar Kyron from the US, thank you again for sending us this email. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon. And time tells me that we have to skip to one of the exciting part of our program, which is this week's interview, which is conducted with one of our regular listeners. We hope you'll enjoy this interview.
Thank you for having me on the program. Yes, I try to tune into IRIB English program as often as possible. On different technical media like satellite, shortwave, but also I listen to IRIB English on the internet. And I think IRIB English is doing a fantastic job because it's really hard to find news about Iran in the West, which is correct. I mean, Iran is a lot in the news in the West, in the Western media, but unfortunately, it's always a very colored view, a very one-sided view. And IRIB is proposing the news like it is the truth about Iran. I mean, IRIB is giving the Iranian point of view, and it gives a total other perception about the news than what you hear here in the Western media, which is always about, I'll give you one example about the nuclear file. As a matter of fact, the nuclear file in Iran is going about civilian nuclear energy, peaceful nuclear energy. And here in the West, they always bring the nuclear file of Iran as, nuclear weapons, about aggressive policies, which is not at all true. So I listen to IRIB English to hear the truth about Iran. Yes, I call upon all listeners of IRIB English, please do like, as I did, visit Iran. Because if you want to know Iran, of course you can tune into IRIB English, but also it's really important that you visit the country yourself to experience the friendliness of the people, the beauty of the country, the rich culture and the rich history of Iran. So please visit Iran. It's very easy to visit. I mean, the infrastructure is good, the roads, the public transport, the hotel infrastructure. So it's really easy to visit the country and to have a look yourself.
Welcome back. So before we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special, I send my appreciations to those of our great listeners who sent us reception reports as well as emails and letters from around the world, including Bashir Ahmed from Bangladesh, Ding Lu from China, Harold Seuss from Austria, Najmuddin from India, Akbar, Haydar Kairan from the US, Juan Coba from Spain, Dario Gabrielli from Italy. We wish you all the best. Many thanks for being with your program, Listeners Special, and of course, IRIB English Radio. Write to your radio, IRIB English Radio, and Listeners Special. Have a good time. And goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to englishradio@irib.ir. That is one word, englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
سيد عبد الله الموسوي.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. We are looking at the human dignity, and we said it is a parcel of the human being, if not the essence of the human being. And when that dignity is violated and taken, then obviously everything falls apart. And all these rights that we have revolves around and try to protect that human dignity. A human being, in the sight of the commander of the faithful, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi as-salam, he sees this creature as a very dignified creature, and he has inner traits, like inner pure godly traits. And when I say godly traits, is because the Quran says, وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي, and I have blown into him from my soul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obviously does not possess a soul, but he's trying to say he put something divine in the human being. And Amir al-Mu'mineen looks into the human being as that. And because of that, Amir al-Mu'mineen worked hard to try and to protect and maintain all the rights of the human being, be it the personal rights or social rights, such as the right to live, the right to safety, the right to equality, the right to education, the right to learning, the right to freedom. And all of these things were applied to its best at the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen's government, when he was in power. Then Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi, did not just say these things by words, verbally, or he has written them, but in fact, he applied them. He was the embodiment of human rights himself. And he created the right environment to make sure that these laws are applied. And anyone, be it a Muslim or a non-Muslim, when they read the life of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, they can see that his main objective in life was to preserve the dignity of a human being in any way or shape possible. And he has suffered so much in trying to preserve that. And sometimes, not only was he trying to preserve the dignity and the rights of his friends or his family or his comrades or companions, but in fact, even his worst enemies, even those who he knew for sure will go fight him and ultimately will end up killing him. Even we know the story that he had with the guy that was going to kill him. The imam was nice and kind to him, and he saved his face value of that person. He did not look at him any different from others, even though he knew that this is the person that ultimately will kill him one day. Because Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi, he always looks at the beauty in the human being, the divine aspects of a human being, and he tried to glorify that to the best of his ability and do whatever it takes to try to preserve it. And every time when Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi, they tell him a story of something has happened to people, I mean, you know, calamities or problems has happened to people, he would be very upset about it. And even he himself, he used to sit by himself and says, maybe, perhaps there could be a person in Yemen or Sham that they never had or never tasted food or knew how it feels to be full. His main concern was trying to liberate and free mankind from slavery, from at least inner slavery before anything else. Now, let us take a short break and then we will continue.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program For Humanity coming to you from IRIB English Radio. Just before the break, we were saying that Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, he was trying to free human beings and save their dignity by providing them with their basic rights, education, freedom, safety, and so on and so forth. Based on that, based on the seerah of Amir al-Mu'mineen, the tradition and the ways of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ayatollah Sayyid al-Khumayni himself, the leader, the man who created a revolution in Iran and changed the course of history as we know it, he himself has used Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam as an example for himself to lead his people, to be specific, and make it an example for others to go by around the world and free them from the slavery that they are in. If we look at Iran before Imam Khomeini and the Shah government, you'll see that people lived in poverty. People had no education. People were, you know, segregated as classes, as a higher class and a lower class. Many people were given nothing. The wealth of the people itself was given to foreign countries. Actually, foreign countries were kind of taking everything from the people of Iran, and Iranians and the people of Iran were living in poverty as a result. When Imam Khomeini came, he wanted to do the same thing that Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam did by trying to liberate people, by trying to free people. And that was the core of his move, which is to follow Amir al-Mu'mineen's step in trying to protect those humans. And if you look at the life of Imam Khomeini himself, he made it very clear that he himself has no gain, or he does not want any gain. He's not interested in becoming a leader. He's not interested in becoming a president or having a government. He's not interested in accumulating wealth. He's not interested in leading people in the sense that, you know, he wants to be over them. His entire move was trying to make sure first they are free, that no one can tell them what to do. No one can, you know, subject them to tyranny and to punishment for their beliefs and for their actions. No one can take the rights from them, at least to have the right to live, to have the right to educate themselves. They have the right to have safety, the right to use their own wealth for themselves, not to give it to someone else while they suffer. And he revolted. He made this huge revolution that, like I said, changed the course of history. So Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam was in the past, over 1400 years ago. Imam al-Khomeini, in the last 50 years, he done the exact same thing, where he said the human value, human dignity must be preserved by trying to make sure that we give it its right. We make sure that the rights that were taken from it, that was bringing this human being to a lower state, needs to be given back to them so they could live once again as humans and feel it, not to feel that they are slaves or living under fear because of someone else. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
And every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a hadith and transmission and narration which has been related from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam regarding the wisdom behind the prohibition of usury, a riba, usury. You know, something very common in today's world, kind of hard to avoid in certain situations. A lot of people ask, what is the reason behind it? What's the wisdom behind it? So in this tradition, Imam Sadiq kind of alludes to it. Of course, we need to take note of the point of the fact that we don't know the reason behind the rulings which have been delineated in and determined in Islamic law. Nobody knows the real reason behind them, the criterion for which they were formulated and specified and were given. But in some of the hadiths, right, we have certain hadiths which mention the benefits or the wisdom, the hikam, behind certain traditions. But because of this, the reason why we're making this reservation is because nobody should take these benefits which have been mentioned in the hadiths and kind of apply them in other cases, right? and say that in other cases these benefits also exist. So there should be a similar ruling, right? Because we don't want to say that these reasons are the actual cause of the ruling. Rather, there are benefits that accrue from the ruling. And it's possible that there might be another reason behind it, and because of that, it doesn't allow us to, expand the parameters of the ruling or constrict them in certain cases, because we don't know the real reason behind them. In any case, let's turn to the hadith itself and read what it says. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, when asked by Hisham ibn Hakam was one of the companions of the Imam, when he was asked about the reason behind the prohibition of usury, right? The Imam said, were usury to be permissible, people would abandon their trading and other necessities. So Allah prohibited usury in order that man may flee from the unlawful means of earning to trade. Right? So usury here in this tradition has been placed as something contrary to trade and tijarat, to trade, right? To work. Right, it's considered as an alternative to work, which is something virtuous, right? So therefore, God Almighty prohibited usury so that people would not do that and work, right? And work and turn to trade and tijarat and stay away from usury and turn to something virtuous and turn away from this thing which is unlawful. In continuation, the Imam says, and resort to buying and selling any. Turn away from that which is unlawful and turn and resort to buying and selling. And this in turn facilitates borrowing from each other. This facilitates, meaning turning to buying and selling, facilitates borrowing from one another. People borrow from one another and trade with one another and work. This is something virtuous that Allah wants. And it isn't like the alternative to this, which is, usury and riba. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the wisdom behind the prohibition of usury in the words of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Bring us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.